need you to take your Bible tonight. Let's go to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you will. And we'll just have a good time in the Word of God tonight, I hope. I was working on the message and finaling notes for tonight. I thought to myself, I have no idea how long it's going to take to preach the message tonight. And so it may be the shortest one on record, but I've told y'all that before and it didn't come out that way, right? So it may not come out that way this time either, all right? I just want to remind you, the book of 1 Thessalonians written to a local, independent, fundamental, I believe, and not Baptist in name, but Baptistic in practice, church. It was a local church. It's like this church. I don't have any idea where they met. I don't know if they had any, what kind of building they may have had or anything along that line. Probably didn't have an organ, and relatively sure they didn't have an organ. But anyhow, it was a church made up of people. And because I'm saying that because of what I want you to look at in verse 6. All right, the Bible says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We have in this verse a double invitation, all right? Double invitation. There's an invitation to watch and to be sober, okay? And but it's all given in relationship to what's come before in this same chapter, all right? That word therefore indicates something else that happened beforehand. It's like we jumped into the middle of the story, all right? I don't know. We used to have a fellow that came to church, and he would, man, when I'd talk to him or he'd talk to me, it took me a while to figure out what he's talking about because he always started in the middle of the story. He never started at the beginning. And so when he first started, I'm thinking, what in the world are you talking about? But if I'd listened long enough, I could usually figure it out, all right? But we don't have to do that. We can go back, and we'll go back to verse 1. The Bible says, but of the times and the seasons, brother, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. And after that, it says, therefore, let us watch. All right? It says, you know, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. All right? That admonition is given because the Lord's coming back. The Lord is coming back, all right? Now, those words are written centuries ago, but the Lord hasn't returned. Still hasn't returned. That means that admonition's still in effect. That admonition's still in effect. It's for us, all right? We need that encouragement. We need that commandment. We need that admonition. We need that invitation, if you will, to let us watch and be sober. You say, why watch? Because his coming is imminent. But we just don't know when it's going to take place. All right? Now, in spite of the scriptures, we are no longer surprised to hear some scripturally challenged individual lay out a date for the return of our Lord. And oh, we still get it back. I think most of you remember, well, a lot of you remember in 1988. Some of you may not have been born in 1988. But those of you, we might remember, I've still got it somewhere in the midst of my library. A little deal that says 88 reasons why the Lord's coming back in 1988. All right, I mean, it was a big thing. People talked about it, all right? But that's in spite of what the Bible tells us. Don't lose your place here in Thessalonians, but go back to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, would you? In spite of what the Bible says right here, We still have people that come along and want to set dates, all right? Well, the Bible's real clear in Mark chapter 13, verse 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. So the Bible told us, the Lord told us centuries ago, don't you set the date, because you don't know. He said there's no man that knows, all right? The angels in heaven don't know. It's God the Father knows, all right? And, but yet we still have people that will come out and set a date. And somebody asks me sometime when they'll hear about somebody setting a date, and they say, preacher, what do you think about that? I said, well, I'm pretty sure it won't be then. Just about positive it won't be then. Whatever date they've taken, you know, it's not going to be. But hey, we do know where to watch, because the Bible says that return is imminent. The Bible tells us there, you want to hold your place in Mark, because we're coming back to this chapter, but we go to verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians 5. The Bible says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. His coming's going to be like a thief in the night. He said, well, how does that? That means easily missed. Easily missed. It's going to be quick. A thief doesn't come and camp out in your house. It's quick, it's in, it's out, or wherever it's at. If it's at some convenience store, that guy doesn't go in with a gun drawn and say, all right, I'm here to rob the store, but I want you to fix me a pizza while I'm waiting, all right? No, it's quick, a very quick thing, all right? And we're to watch so we'll not be caught sleeping. Not be caught sleeping. Remember, I said stay there in Mark 13. Look back there in Mark 13. Look at the two verses, or three verses, beginning in verse 35. The Bible says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, or even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. Why are we to watch? Hey, he's coming as a thief in the night, without warning, with no, there won't be a big advance notice. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I thought the trumpet was going to sound. Yep, but when that trumpet sounds, he's here. And when that trumpet sounds, we're out of here. It's not one of those deals, okay, pack a bag. No, it's too late, we're gone, all right? We're gone. It's going to be like that. Hey, we're to watch. Why? We're commanded to do so. We're to be alert for that fact, all right? Now, notice back there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh. I believe the Bible paints us a picture we're to watch, because it's going to happen when people are absolutely convinced of being safe. Absolutely convinced of being safe. Our country was totally caught off guard on 9/11. We never conceived of anybody doing what those individuals did. Never thought about it. Nobody had ever considered something like would happen, all right? We just considered, hey, we're safe, it's all right, nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. It had even been a while since somebody had hijacked the plane. There was a period of time there, it was nothing unusual to come home, flip on the evening news, and, hey, we've got a hijacking going on. But it hadn't happened then in a while. And, man, all of a sudden we had those events take place. Hey, things like that, they occur when we think we're safe. There's so much of a feeling today of safety that millions scoff at the thought that he will return. Our Jewish friends are still looking for the first coming. Don't realize they missed that first coming, and what's coming now is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the second coming. But we do, it has going to occur in a time when people think, hey, we're all right, it's okay, nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. And that's the way people view it today. Life has gone on hundreds of years. He hadn't come. Oh, I know the Bible says that, but, you know. And now we're even beginning to explain that away. A lot of people, you know, a lot of churches, a lot of I guess I should say theologians, are trying to explain these kind of things away. Well, that's not to be taken literally. It's not. Yeah, it is. The Lord meant what he said. We're to watch. Why? Luke chapter 12. Would you go there with me? Luke chapter 12. There's a reason for us to watch, because there is a promise. There is a promise that is made to those who do watch. In Luke chapter 12, look if you will in verse 37. Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Notice the Bible says here, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Hey, there's going to be a reward for those that are watching. Now, when we talk about watching, we're not talking about watching in fear. I've seen on the internet just show up, and it's got this little deal, the safest places to be in the United States in case of a nuclear attack. I didn't delve into it to see if we're in a safe place. I've always felt this way. If I knew, I figure Dallas-Fort Worth is a hub. It's got a big target on it. Man, we've got all the we've got the plants that make military hardware, make jets, and make the planes, those kind of things. The folks, you know, used to be General Dynamics, and then all of that, boy, it's a big area, Bell Helicopter, that, and then there's other plants around that are involved in it. I always said if I knew they had sent the missile up and it was coming, I'd try to run and get right under where it was going to land. He said, why'd you do that? So it'd be quick. Boom, I'm out of here, all right? Just rather do it. You say, man, on a run, find a place to hide. No, just go in the first wave, all right? Just get on out of here, you know? But, but we're not to watch for his coming in fear. Our watch is to be an expectant watch, all right? If you will, let me put it this way. Every now and then, take a look at that eastern sky, just see if it's lightening up, you know? Just to look. Why? Because we're expecting him to come, all right? Not only expecting, but hoping. Hoping that he'll come. That's where our look is. It's not a look of, you know, oh, man, I just don't want that to happen. I had a niece that said one time she didn't want the Lord to come back before she was married and had kids. Well, she's married and got kids, so I guess it's okay for him to come back now, all right? But, man, I thought, no, it doesn't matter to me. She said, well, didn't you want to have grandkids? I just want to go to heaven. I want to be with the Lord, all right? And so the Lord's promised us that he's coming, but he's told us, hey, you watch. We're to watch for that coming. We're to keep our eyes open. But it doesn't stop there in 1 Thessalonians. It doesn't just say watch, but it says let us watch and be sober. Be sober. Now, if you're a drinker, you need to get right with God. That's not what it's talking about. It's not saying don't be drunk. It's telling us to be. I looked up that word, and I've always considered it and looked it to be meaning to be serious and have a serious mind, and looked it up. And according to what they told me, they said it's to be discreet. And I looked up discreet, and it says to be thoughtful in nature. So what does that mean? It means be serious, all right? You need to keep your eyes open, all right? And you need to be some serious. Now, notice the Bible does not say be somber. It says be sober. Be sober. There's a big difference between somber and sober. All right? There's more difference than just an extra letter. All right? There's a lot of people that are somber, okay? But that's not what it's talking about. Some folks seem to get those two terms kind of confused a little bit. Can I say this to you? It's not, the Bible's not telling us watch and be somber. No, It's okay to be glad. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to rejoice at the fact the Lord's coming. We're not to have a long face because he's coming. We shouldn't go around through life thinking, oh, what a dreadful thing. He's coming back. No, that's a wonderful thing. What a blessing that he is, all right? But the coming of the Lord is serious business. Serious business. It is so serious that we can't afford to be careless. We can't afford to be careless. To not be prepared at his coming. To be, if you will, caught off guard. Caught where you wouldn't want to be. Be ready. I think we need to have that sense of urgency with the realization that he could come at any moment. That's a very serious idea, all right? We talk about how will he find us when he comes. And I think we ought to consider that. That's why we ought to be serious about it. And notice back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice what it said to let us not do in verse 6. You see that? It says, let us not sleep as, okay, do others. It said, don't be asleep. We're to be active. We're not just to be sitting and watching. We're not to be sitting around and look at one another and say, hey, you see anything yet? Now, you ever been in a situation where you're waiting on something and you say, do you see anything yet? The eclipse that occurred. You know, we were here with kids at school. We were going out, you know, and you're trying to, first of all, you're thinking, is it going to be clouded over or not? And the sun would come out, and I'd zip out there and look, you know, and see, well, it hadn't started yet, you know. But it's getting close. And you say, do you see anything? Well, hey, that's not the way we're to watch. We're not just to be sitting and whittling on the porch, all right, and looking at one another and say, is anything going on? No, that's not the admonition. Our busyness ought to be with a view to the fact that he is coming. He is coming, all right? Our busyness ought to be in preparation for that coming. Preparing it. Getting your house in order. And we know somebody's coming, we get things in order. You got guests coming, you've got family coming, you've got somebody coming over, you get things squared away. Years ago, when television was more fit to watch, who doesn't remember an episode in one of those sitcoms where they all of a sudden heard somebody's coming over and they took everything and threw it in the closet and shoved the door shut, right? Of course, you knew later on somebody was going to open that and everything was going to fall out. But we wanted to make things ready. We wanted to be ready. Hey, we need to get our house in order. Why? The Lord's coming back. Watch. Let us watch. Let's be sober, be serious. Need to get things in order. He's coming back. We need to keep our business in order. Why? Take your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3, would you? Why, preacher, why is that such a big thing? Well, the Bible tells us, okay? 2 Peter chapter 3. Drop down, if you will, and look in verse 14. That its chapter talks about the return of the Lord. And talking about the return of the Lord, when we get to verse 14 in 2 Peter 3, the Bible says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things as the return of the Lord, says, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And blameless. Hey, the Bible tells us, hey, we're to watch, we're to be serious, we're to be getting things in order, so when he comes, we're ready. We're ready. You said, preacher, now, wait a minute. I thought you said in that first coming, we're going, he's going to be in the clouds and we're going to go to meet him. It's not when he comes to the earth. You're right. But you need to be ready. You need to be ready. You need to have things lined up. You need to be taking care of what you should be taking care of. Not putting it off, and I'll take care of that in a month or two. No one need to take care of right now. Those things that are just supremely important. You said what? Well, the Bible says that you may be found of him in peace. Peace. As the songwriter put it, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Lord, keep that life. Notice it says that we'd be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Man, I don't know about you, but I believe the return of the Lord is going to be instantaneous. Boom. Just, Bible says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at that last trump. That is not much time. It's quicker than we realize. And I've heard it said, you know, I've heard another preacher say in some time past, he said it's so fast that if you're sucking on a cigarette, you get the intake and you come up, you meet the Lord, and then you exhale. Hey, he said, I don't think it happened like that. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm telling you, we need to be ready. And we need to be serious in our preparation for his return. That means, I believe it means this, we need to be busy in the Father's business. We need to be busy in the Father's business. You say, what do I mean? I mean just doing everything you can to get the gospel out. Everything you can to get the gospel out. Now, preacher, God didn't call me to be a preacher. I understand. I'm just saying you do everything you can to get the gospel out. Well, I mean anything you come up with. You give, you go, you tell, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Everything you can do to see to it that the gospel gets out. We're preparing, all right? I believe you ought to be active in your church. You ought to be active in your church. Why? Because the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. What a sad thing it'd be if the Lord came back and found us doing nothing. Just existing. Well, I'm enjoying my best life now. What are you doing for him, all right? What are you doing for the Lord's business? I mean, everything ought to be that way. Now, and it ought not to be confined to a building just on Sunday morning. Honestly, I think the majority of professing Christians, their Christianity pretty much exists 1 hour, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours a day, one day a week in church. One day a week. Boy, it ought not to be that way. If we're serious about it, then it ought to permeate our lives with the realization he's coming. He's coming. Every facet of this life ought to be affected by the fact Jesus is coming again. Everything. Our attitude. Our attitude ought to be such. Why? Because he's coming back. He's coming back. I mean, just our very attitude ought to display it. Our actions ought to display it. I don't want to be caught doing something I got no business doing. Don't want to be caught, you know. People talk about being caught in a compromising position. I don't want to be in any kind of compromising position when the Lord returns. So that means, hey, then every facet of life, everything we do, our actions, our attitude, our appetites, we ought to consider all of those things with the view of the fact Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming back. Everything. It ought to affect everything we do, our talk, our thoughts. It ought to be affected. We ought to realize it. And I don't mean you ought to brood over his return. But at the same time, it ought to always be there. It ought to always be there. We should never get to that point where we just don't consider it. You say, preacher, it's been a long time since Paul penned those words in 1 Thessalonians. Sure has. So are you sure he's coming back? As a matter of fact, yes. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Because we've got the greatest assurance there can be that he's coming back. You say, what's that? We've got God's word. We've got his word. Look there, you still in 2 Peter chapter 3? Look back at verse 3. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this, now listen, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Hey, he's coming back. He's coming back. The Bible tells us. Jesus, when he was on the earth, told his disciples, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back. You say, we've got the best guarantee you could possibly have. Got the word of God. But people today are willingly ignorant of this book, all right? Willingly ignorant of it. On purpose, I believe they've decided not to believe what God said. Just not going to believe it, all right? Now, I don't know about you, but I believe what he said. I'm looking for him to return. I'm looking for him to return. You say, what's going to happen if you die before he comes? Then I'll go to him. And I'll go to him. Doesn't change the promise, all right? He doesn't have to come on my timetable. If he came on my timetable, we'd already be in heaven. If he came on my timetable, we'd already be there, all right? Wouldn't be any doubt about it, all right? When he comes, it's his business. That's all his business. The timing of his coming. And I'm amazed that people say, we've got to figure it out, got to figure it out. No, just look in the scriptures. I know it's there. I mean, it's just hidden somewhere, and we'll find the key, and we'll find it, and we'll be able to announce. You're worried about that? Won't you just worry about your job? He said, well, it's my job to watch and to be sober. Let's do that. Let's do that. That's our part. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to figure out when he's coming. We're just to be sure we're watching when he comes. Be sure we're watching when he comes. Years ago, I went to a Ranger ball game. And they were playing not at the ballpark, not at where they're at now. What's that? Globe Life Park. It was the old Turnpike Stadium. Man, the one out in the open, there was, it was just there. And I went to the ball game out there, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'd carried some kids from Sunday school class, and we were sitting out in the cheap seats because that's what we could afford. We were way out in the outfield, you know, and we were watching the game, and it was getting down as the ninth inning, and it was decided already. So I said, come on, guys, let's go. We're going to beat the traffic. So we went out. We got outside the park. And man, you heard this great yell come up. I mean, you heard this tremendous cheer. And I said, well, somebody did something. Got in the car, or the vans, probably in the van, the kids, and turned the radio on to catch a game. What we had just missed was the first home run ever hit by Pudge Rodriguez, the now Hall of Fame catcher that played for the Rangers. Man, if I'd have known he's going to do that, I'd have stayed. Right? I just wonder how many people are just going to say, if I'd have known he was coming back when he was, I'd have done different. Hey, I don't want to be in that crowd that says, if I'd known. I know. I know he's coming back. You know he's coming back. What's our job? Figure out when. No. Watch. Be sober. Why? He's coming back. He's coming back. We're to be ready for it. We're to look expectantly for that. It ought to be something we're excited about, not something we're looking at and say, man, alive. Hope he doesn't come before I can retire and have just a little bit of time. Come on. Man, I hope he'll come tonight. Hope he'll come tonight. Let's be watching. Let's be sober. Let's be ready. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray tonight you'd just help us. Lord, thank you for the great promise we have in the Word of God that you're coming back. Lord, you're not just coming back, you're coming back to receive us to yourself, that where you are, we can be also. Lord, you're preparing a place for us.